Miami won a game. That's it. That's the story. After two tough losses that were undoubtedly the low point of the season, they get Jimmy Butler back in the lineup, hitting big shots down the stretch, and Bam Adebayo putting up 31 points and dominating the paint. We break down the game. Strong performances from Jimmy, Bam, Caleb Martin, Tyler Hero, and answer if Victor Oladipo is the key to continuing to win games on today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily podcast. It's on the Miami Heat, however you might be tuning in on YouTube, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. I'm Wes Goldberg here with David Ramil. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. A big win for the Miami Heat, no other way to say it. They beat the Clippers 115-110. It was Jimmy Butler who serves as the bookend to this one. 12 points in the first quarter, the final 8 points for the Heat to close the game. He has 26 overall. Bam has 31. Tyler Hero with 19. Caleb Martin with 17. But David, to me, the big takeaway here is that with Jimmy closing the game the way that Jimmy Butler does, just getting mismatches, pulling the Clippers' little guards into switches and doing the bully ball Jimmy Butler stuff that we know that he could do, contributions from other places up and down the roster, timely shots from Tyler Hero, Caleb Martin, Bam Adebayo doing it on both ends, holding the Clippers to 23 points in the fourth quarter with Paul George, who was quite good in this game, forcing 16 turnovers, 11 steals. David, this is the first time in a really long time that the Heat looked like the Heat. Those past few games, especially with Jimmy Butler out, I didn't recognize this team. This is the first time in a very, very long time that the Miami Heat looked like the Miami Heat. What do you think?
You're putting that over the Boston win in terms of what seems like a Miami Heat type victory? Because I don't know.
It was close because I don't know. This felt more like what the Miami Heat want to do regularly in terms of Jimmy Butler closing the game. They turn that Boston win into a rock fight, and they do want to do that. But I thought moreover, like they got back to their defensive principles of getting the deflections and those things, transitioning, getting in transition. They didn't even shoot that well from 3-point range. Where in that Boston kind of mini series, they were helped out by good 3-point shooting. Jason Tatum didn't play very well in that other second Boston game, which is worth noting. Like I said, Paul George played well. The Clippers were without Kawhi Leonard on the second night.
That's big,
though.
It's
worth mentioning. But like this to me is the blueprint. This is the way that the Heat win games.
Yeah, that's fair. It was a lot closer than it should have been. You know, again, facing a Clippers team that's pretty good, but still struggling as they miss time to time with, you know, Kawhi Leonard occasionally missing games as he did tonight. I don't think Reggie Jackson would be covering Jimmy Butler for most of those stretches in the fourth quarter if Kawhi's out there. So I think that's something worth noting is that, you know, if that Clippers team had been at full strength, tonight's outcome might be a little different. But none of that really matters. To your point, is it the blueprint? I'm not sure if that's exactly the case either, because I think they're still missing something from three-point range. Like you pointed out, the fact that they didn't shoot well, I struggle to see whether or not they could get open looks regularly from three-point range. And I think a lot of that has to do with some offensive schematic issues and the personnel that's out there. So
can I reframe a little bit then? Because I do agree with you in that point. I didn't mean to turn this into like, is the Clippers win more representative or is the Boston win more representative? What I mean is like at home in front of the home crowd.
Hey, it's a good win.
To show that poise too, what was it, 22 lead changes in this game, something like that?
Close.
It was a close game. It was basically a 2-3 possession game the entire way. And to show that poise, that's what I'm talking about. That's what you want to see from the Heat. And they did bounce. Look, bad loss to Memphis, bad loss to Detroit. No other way to put it. But to come back and get this win against these Clippers are very similar to the Miami Heat in that they haven't had their guys for a long portion of this season. And they're finally starting to get healthy a little bit. Second night of back-to-back, Kawhi doesn't play. That's going to be normal for Kawhi. Just like Jimmy didn't play against Detroit. That's normal for Jimmy. They're kind of in the same boat in that way. But just to show that poise down the stretch and then control the game in those last few minutes, that to me was what was so impressive.
That's fair. I think we made this point following the first game of that series against the Boston Celtics, where they were without Jimmy Butler. And yet they showed incredible poise. Bam was incredibly dominant. He played a really, really good game. They got a strong performance from Kyle, Tyler, and others. And they were able to keep pace for 44 out of those 48 minutes. But they showed the kind of tenacity and grit and purpose that they've been missing on and off throughout the course of the season. This was a game where they looked like they had their identity back. Like they had Jimmy Butler engaged, which is not the case against the Memphis Grizzlies. Whether he was nursing an injury or not, he certainly didn't look like a player who was coming off of injury. He looked smooth the whole game. He was impactful. He was energized. He was making big plays and certainly down the stretch, taking over when it mattered most. So I can see that point, and it was a good win. I'm not going to fall into that trap that we fell into after the win against Boston that second game. So I'm not sure whether or not it's sustainable.
Yeah, because you don't know what comes next, right?
Right. They face a bad Spurs team, a rebuilding Spurs team on Saturday. If they win that one, we can start kind of getting back into that mode. There were positives. I think you pointed those out. Jimmy Butler, strong performance. Bam, dominating at times. There were also signs that maybe they need to continue to improve things. The lack of three-point shooting, still a concern. Duncan Robinson didn't get a single minute. Max Strus struggled. No Kyle Lowry tonight, so maybe he helps in that regard. Drew Smith missed four of his five shots.
Yeah,
that was a little surprising.
Early in the first half, it's not that surprising. I mean, it was a little surprising, but this is...
I thought they would go with Max as a starter or Tyler Herro running the point ostensibly.
I thought that they might do that, but you know how Spo is. He loves the
next man up
rotations. He loves it's not even next man up sometimes. It's like the next guy, we're going to skip over him and then just go to the next guy. And that was basically what it was with Drew Smith, but he wanted to keep Strus and Oladipo and Dwight and Dedmon and Highsmith as his core bench group in a night where you had no Kyle Lowry and you had no Gabe Vincent either. A quick note on Gabe Vincent, Eric Spoelstra mentioning that, look, this is he believes it to be a minor injury, but one that they would want to basically nip in the bud and not have it turn into a long-term issue. We've heard that before, most recently with Victor Oladipo, and then he didn't play for the first 24 games of the season. So we'll see, not trying to raise any alarms, but we'll see what's going on with Gabe Vincent. That said, you bring up the interesting point with the three-point shooting. 32 three-point attempts tonight. They only make 12. Jimmy Butler made two of them, which I don't need two of the two, which I'm not sure you can rely on. Caleb Martin went 4 of 8. Typical Caleb Martin, shooting 50% from three-point range. Tyler Herro had a nice night from three-point range, 4 of 8 for him. But the thing is, what struck me in this game was just how reliant the Heat were on that short mid-range area, like those mid-range shots right outside of the – like those paint, non-rim paint touches, that Bam Adebayo little – float game that he's got going on, the Tyler Herro float game that he's got going on. They went 18 of 35 tonight, David, on the short mid-range area, 51.4%. That made up a bulk of their mid-range, but they were 49% on all of their mid-range attempts. That part is unsustainable. Teams don't shoot like that. And I know you could say, hey, that's Bam's specialty, that's Tyler's specialty. Nobody's that special at it, all right? We're not talking about Kobe Bryant right now. We're not talking about Michael Jordan. Like, this isn't Kevin Durant up and down the roster. Those guys are that special at it. Bam Adebayo, we love how he's progressed. Tyler Herro, we love how they've progressed. They're not to that point yet. But at the same time, that's what the Clippers defense was giving them, and they took it. And you had all that, and you had Jimmy at the end saying, hey, Max, you're guarded by Reggie Jackson. Let's put you in a screen. The Clippers switch everything, and they drop. So just give me the Reggie Jackson switch, and I'm just going to bully him. If it's not Reggie Jackson, it's Luke Kennard. If it's not Luke Kennard, it's one of these other small guards that the Clippers are forced to play with. So I like the fact that they just found the way to win. Even if that part of it isn't sustainable, I also think that the three-point shooting eventually will bounce back.
I don't know. I think part of the problem tonight was not just was the Clippers defense, limiting what they could get from the three-point range. They were also just taking away wide open looks. And part of that has to do, again, with the personnel out there. You've got Bam at the nail, right, or just spaced out a little bit too far and not involved in dribble handoff plays or type actions. And so he's basically taking up space 18 to 20 feet away from the rim, somewhat clogging. I'm sorry?
They took all the dribble handoff stuff away with the drop coverage, and then all of their players go over screen regardless of the opposing personnel. They all go over the screens. They force you into that mid-range area. They give that to you. They let it be wide open because they want it to be wide open because they're counting on you not shooting 51.4% from that short mid-range spot. It just turns out that the Heat had it going from that area. Yeah. I want to mention something we've got credit cookies here in a minute, but you mentioned something interesting, not falling for the trap, because it's been one step forward, two steps back all season. Is this one step forward followed by two steps back? I want to talk about that in the next segment. But first, Today's episode of Locked On Heat is brought to you by Masterclass. With Masterclass, you can learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. You can learn how to do everything from the art of negotiation to songwriting. With over 180 classes from a range of world-class instructors, that thing that you've always wanted to do is much closer than you think. Masterclass is accessible on your phone, web, or smart TV, offering classes on a wide variety of topics, all taught by world-class instructors at the top of their fields. Each class is broken out into individual video lessons, usually around 10 minutes long. Members can explore at their own pace, and each class is supported by downloadable materials, class guides, recipes, or more. You can find all available classes at masterclass.com. Hundreds of video lessons from 180 plus of today's most brilliant minds are available anytime, anywhere on iOS, Android, desktop, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Roku. Learn how to write anything from a book or a screenplay to just a letter. Learn how to communicate with your boss or your family. Learn how to make a dinner worthy of a Michelin star or just how to make a really good scrambled egg. Explore lessons in any order that you'd like across your phone, tablet, Apple TV, computer, and on the go with audio mode. Lessons of approximately 10 to 15 minutes in length fit easily into your everyday life. An annual membership starts at just $180 a year. I highly recommend that you check it out. This holiday, give one annual membership and get one for free. Go to masterclass.com/lockedon today. That's masterclass.com/lockedon. Terms apply.
Today's episode is also brought to you by LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. I know how difficult it can be to find the right person when I've hired people in the past, but LinkedIn makes it so much easier. You just add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply.
Thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. The biggest stories of the day, instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. Before we get to our credit cookies here, David, you mentioned something that I want to touch on. Hey, you don't want to fall into that trap of getting overly excited, saying, hey, the Heat are back and all this stuff. And you're right. It's been a struggle for you and I this year because it's one step forward, two steps back all season long with this team. And it's like, hey, the Boston win. We're right back in it. This is the Heat. Jimmy Butler back and healthy and all this stuff. And then against Detroit and Memphis. And so how do we grapple with this is sort of the existential question I want to bring to you here. Because you're right. You don't want to get too excited over one win. But on the other hand, it was a really tough schedule for the Heat going through. And now is sort of the part of the season where it swings the other way, where you go from having one of the toughest schedules in the NBA to one of the easiest from now until the end of the regular season. And so there is reason to believe easier schedule. You got Wembanyama eyeing opponents coming up in the Spurs, the Thunder, the Rockets. Like, things do get easier and you've got your guys back. You're getting healthy. Oladipo playing his first two games of this season. I don't want to get too excited, but can I just a little bit?
Yeah, that's the key. I think you kind of have to willfully separate the first 10 games of the season and then look ahead, not optimistically or pessimistically, just kind of look ahead to the next 10 games and say that's what's going to be more indicative of what this team is. I think the first 10 games was a difficult stretch for this group because they were nursing injuries, because they were incorporating Tyler back into that starting lineup, because they just had so many different players in and out of the rotation, unable to get into any kind of rhythm and things of that sort. I think Bam Adebayo mentioned at today's shooter round, right, that he recognizes how difficult it is for certain players being in and out of the lineup. You can point to Max Strus specifically. Like, as a starter, he was fine. As a bench player, still trying to find his rhythm. And I think you just, again, have to consciously say, you know what? I don't even want to consider the first 10 games of the season. Yes, the numbers count in terms of the overall record, but it's about the next 10 games. And I think that'll be more indicative as we're starting to see this team get healthier. Yes, they're going to be missing Gabe Vincent. Dwayne Dedmon's still going to be on and off because of the plantar fascia issues. But I think we're going to get Bam consistently. We're going to get Jimmy consistently. We're going to get Tyler, Kyle, et cetera. And that being the case, that's going to be more of what this team is trending towards now, as opposed to what they showed early in the season. Every team starts off slowly. Look at the Boston Celtics last year. I know that's a bad example because they had injury issues.
Starts off slowly, but every team goes through periods in their season where things aren't going their way. The Celtics this year are starting off like crazy. The Warriors last year started off like crazy. And what happened? The Warriors last year, they went through a phase of where they didn't have their guys. Draymond's injured. This guy's hurt, right. Whatever. And then they get into the playoffs, they click, and then they win the finals. So, but every team goes through phases, and you talk to guys in that locker room and look, you kind of have to. What else are you supposed to say if you're playing for the Miami Heat or if you're coaching the Miami Heat? It's like, look, we're going to right the ship. We're going to be fine. But all of them said, like, look, this just happens over the course of a season. It just happened for us right away.
Early, yeah.
And so they do believe that things are trending in the right direction. So maybe that's the key there. We don't have to get too excited. We don't have to say things are completely right now. It's not, things aren't fixed. This isn't going to be every Miami Heat game. But things are trending in the right direction. That said, it's time to get in the kitchen and whip up some credit cookies, David. What kind of cookies do we have? It's been a while since we had some sweets.
Yeah, I think we made a batch of butter cookies for Christmas, and they've grown stale, so that's perfect for tonight's win here. It's kind of like if you really need a sweet, let's say like you're borderline diabetic, or maybe you've got low blood sugar, and you're like, I just need a sweet real quick. It'll do, but it's not like something you're going to enjoy. You're not going to be like, wow, that was a damn good cookie. No, it was just a cookie. It's got the requisite sugar and ingredients and everything else, but it does not count as something that you're going to remember anytime soon.
Jimmy Butler, 3 credit cookies to him. Mentioned how he's basically the bookend of this game. Comes out, sets the tone right away with that first quarter, and then gets those final 8 points in the fourth quarter. I think you could give him more than 3, but this was a nice win in that there's plenty of credit cookies to give. Any other night, Jimmy Butler would probably get 5-6 credit cookies.
That's fair.
But tonight, he's only going to get 3 because we have more to give away. Anything else on Jimmy Butler? I was just so impressed. Like, look, I have been very critical of Jimmy Butler on this program and saying, hey, look, fourth quarter, come out, do it. You're the best player on the floor. Dominate. Be the closer. That's what you have to do. I understand that you don't want to be that guy scoring 40 every night. But if tonight, he didn't. Tonight, he scored 26. He wasn't even the highest scorer on the team. That was Bam Adebayo. But he was the closer, and that's what you need from Jimmy Butler. And everybody on the team said, that's our guy. Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Eric Spoelstra in the postgame availability said, this is what Jimmy Butler does. We give him the ball, he closes. And what I loved about the end there, too, is that the Heat were sort of just babysitting this lead through the final like 3.5-4 minutes. And you kind of want to drain some clock in that scenario. You don't want to turn the ball over. You want to use some clock, and you obviously want to score, and you want to get stops. But by giving Jimmy Butler the ball and, hey, Max, you screen, Reggie Jackson gets on to Jimmy Butler, and then you just dribble, dribble, dribble into the post, and you're just ticking the clock away, the shot clock away, and then it ends up in a pretty decent shot, and he made those shots, and that was key. So I thought his game control at the end was also dominant. He was the guy controlling the tempo early at the start and then obviously at the end there.
Playmaking at the start, like he looked like he was trying to get everybody going there. And I think he recognized that shift midway through the game. He missed his first 2 shots, hit his last 10 after that. And I think, again, hunting those mismatches, consciously understanding that he had to take over the game, a big step for him, as you expect him to be. But yeah, Bam Adebayo with his 31 points, incredible night for him. Look, there were still moments there, and I wanted to point that out. Of his 7 misses, 5 of them were against Zubac. I know still a big defensive presence there, something that Bam still struggles with, and I think will continue to struggle with. So he forced 5 of those 7 misses himself. 1 also where he was trying to quote-unquote back down John Wall of all people and couldn't get a good shot over him. That was not good. That was like, oh, man, this might be the old Bam again. But then he turned it up in the second half. Really strong performance from him.
He's starting to think the game in a new way. And you could tell when you're watching Bam is he's seeing pictures differently. Coaches will use that kind of term, see the pictures, right? And that's kind of referencing the film that they watch in the mornings and in the afternoons is Bam Adebayo is becoming such a more aggressive scorer, and he's doing it in many more different ways than he used to. And that's showing up on the film for opponents. And now their opponents are adjusting their defensive coverages on Bam. And one of the things that they're doing, and Spo pointed this out in the postgame, they're not doubling Bam Adebayo when he catches the ball. They're doubling him on Bam's first move. And now Bam is starting to see double teams to Bam Adebayo are not necessarily new, but the way that those doubles are coming after that first dribble, after that first attack move, and then they're coming, and they're coming from different angles. The Clippers and opponents are helping from different places now. And so he's just got to get used to this. And now he's working on his counters, and he's been very open about talking about that. So you saw a little bit of that, and you mentioned that. First half, started a little slow. Second half, he's figuring it out. He's thinking the game more as it goes along, and that's a really good sign for him. So it's something.
Shout out to Jimmy and other ball handlers, Tyler and everybody else, because they started getting involved in these pick and roll where he would set a slip screen there and instantly dive towards the rim, and he had a wide open lane because Zubac a little bit slower, big presence, big body, good rim protector, etc., but not able to counter as well. So when Jimmy had the ball, he would draw the double, and let's say he had Reggie Jackson on him or even Paul George. They would go on to Jimmy, and then Bam would immediately dive towards the rim. He had like four or five wide open baskets at the rim there where he just did set an incredible slip screen, was able to just dive to the rim wide open for an uncontested dunk or a layup. So good for
pick and roll. The pick and roll action with Tyler and Jimmy with Bam Adebayo has gotten so much better. And this team is trending more and more towards being more of a pick and roll team than they ever have been. And that's not necessarily a bad thing given the strengths of this roster the way it is right now. Tyler Hero gets two credit cookies, just him quickly, 6 of 17, 19 points, had 4 of 8 from three-point range, a couple of big threes at the end of the game there. I thought eight he actually points. Had 9 rebounds. You can tell he got that triple-double a week ago, and he really liked it, and he's still trying to go. 3 assists for him. I like his floor game. This wasn't the best night for him. It wasn't a bad night. It just wasn't like Tyler Hero erupts kind of night either. He seems so much more cool, calm, collected. And then Caleb Martin, he gets two credit cookies as well. And that's because of the 16 points in that second quarter. Phenomenal. It was Jimmy in the first quarter. It was Bam Adebayo in the third quarter. And it was Jimmy again in the fourth quarter. But it was Caleb Martin in the second quarter. And that was so huge to keep Miami in the game.
Well, Tyler also had 8 points in the fourth quarter, and he helped lead a comeback. Yeah. Miami was down early, and then they were able to build a little lead, and then Jimmy wound up closing the game. So kudos to him for a good, strong performance. But yeah, Caleb just strong defensively all night, but also hitting big shots, like comfort level at 1,000.
That is in crossover, rhythm. Shaking Robert Covington and then finishing at the basket. On Media Row, I just went, oh my God. Yeah. It was like, oh my God, because Caleb Martin has developed quite a bit. I have never seen anything like that from Caleb Martin. He's continuing to get better and better and better.
He's confident from 3-point range. Like
he's not attacking a closeout. That was, hey, you put Covington on me, who people across he's not as good as a defender as his reputation is, but he's a good defender. And Caleb Martin was like, I don't care. And he just crossed him over. He made a couple of dribble moves.
Bringing the ball up court, like, what a find. Like, Eric's kudos post-court. To Miami and their scouting again for bringing this guy in a two-way contract. That's the Charlotte.
He wasn't that good in Charlotte.
Of course he wasn't. Caleb. Of course he wasn't. Yeah, you're right. I mean, but again, I guess it's the reality of saying, you know what? I could be out of the league here. And, I've got Wade. My twin brother still has a job. I don't. I've got to do what I can. Miami, a team well known for being able to resurrect careers. Good choice by him to come here. And he does the work. He buys into the culture and contributes. And he's grown. Like, he's a very good role player. Like, that is a guy that on the open market.
Spo just laughed. He was asked about Caleb, and Spo just, he's just like, he's a good basketball player. I don't know what else to tell you guys. Like, he's just a good basketball player. I think I asked him about it like a week ago about his 3-point shooting. He's like, he's a really good 3-point shooter. Spo's comments has evolved from, he's a really good 3-point shooter to, he's a very good basketball player. And that's accurate. He's a good 2-way player. And you said this a couple weeks ago. Best value contract in the NBA or one of them. And I don't think that's disputable at this point at $6.5 million or whatever it is. So Caleb Martin, awesome. Team high plus 18. He is so impactful on the court. I know that the Heat still need size. They still need a power forward, like a real one, but they're not taking Caleb Martin out of that starting lineup. Now what we're talking about is depth, depending on what kind of power forward you get eventually, if that ever happens, but whatever, that's a different conversation. We do have questions from our listeners coming up in regards to that bench, to that depth. Has Miami fixed it? There's one thing. There's a glimmer of hope. Maybe they have. We'll talk about that next. But first, David, tell the listeners about Bet Online.
Yeah, today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net, your number one source for sports betting information, stats, news, and analysis. You get the latest odds and trends for every professional amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. We've got it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Reach Locked On Heat on Twitter, Instagram, email lockedonheat@gmail.com. This question comes from EJ Bruski, who writes in, do you think that with Victor Oladipo healthy, we could start getting a solid bench rotation? I also like taking Hero out at the 6 minute mark of the first and third quarters. The Tyler Hero thing I mentioned, I noticed as well. Spo had been experimenting. We'll get to the Vic thing, but Spo had been experimenting with putting Tyler and Bam in the game to start the second and fourth quarters to sort of bridge that while Jimmy and Kyle Lowry were not playing. And so he experimented with that a little bit. Mixed results. Obviously, the loss in Memphis and the loss of the Pistons was not helpful. And then went to a different rotation with no Kyle Lowry. So I don't know if was more of just a domino effect of not having Kyle Lowry or Gabe Vincent tonight and having to play Drew Smith 22 minutes. So maybe you just adjust the rotations there. But all in all, like, this whole sample size of the start of the season is giving different looks of different combinations and different players to Eric Spoelstra. I don't mind having Tyler Hero come out the 6 minute mark and then kind of coming in later and then floating a bench unit. That I generally like, but thoughts on that, or just go right to the Victor Oladipo bit?
Yeah. I mean, with Tyler coming off the bench later on, is the assumption that he would play with Victor Oladipo? Like, can those two coexist? Because it seems
tonight together. But again, no Lowry, no Gabe Vincent.
Yeah, I think born out of necessity more than anything else. And look, both players need the ball in their hands, and we saw Victor like get better over the course of the game. Like, he played 22 minutes tonight, and he was noticeably quicker. Like, he recognized, you know what, attack the basket, good things can happen if I try and do that, whether the shots fall or not. I still create opportunities. I can draw fouls. I can create rebounding opportunities for Bam or Dwayne Dedman and him had a good pick and roll combination going themselves. We talked about the Bam Hero, Bam Jimmy combo. Victor Oladipo going back to their Orlando Magic days, baby. There's a connection there.
That's right.
Everybody forgets, but yeah, they were teammates there.
Not you.
The Magic. No, I was there in Orlando. But yeah, no, it was good to see that. I just wonder how the rotation is going to shake out. You know, Max played all of the fourth quarter. Like, he played huge minutes in the second half too, 31 total minutes. So he's playing starter level minutes.
He was the starter. Drew Smith obviously started the game, but Max played 31 and a half minutes. He was basically the starter. Good point.
So yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting, but look, and again, I'm feeling like the same kind of warning signs up ahead that I'm falling into the trap, but I've spoken about it a lot over the course of the season. And it's just that this is what the team envisioned, what the front office envisioned when they had those big moves fall short of the offseason, is that you have this kind of depth, that you have this kind of versatility where you have all these number of options. Yeah. And if there's one positive to take out of all the injuries and the slow start and everything else, is that it's forced all these players to get extended minutes, because you know at some point down the stretch of the long regular season, and maybe even into the playoffs, if this team makes the playoffs, not going to guarantee it at any point, that you'll have that kind of experience factor. Now, Drew Smith knows what it's like if he's out there in a game in April or something like that. You know, Haywood Highsmith, if he has to go out there and guard somebody on the perimeter, he knows he has an experience.
Highsmith is the one. That's the one where, okay, in a pinch, you can go to this guy. Only 4 minutes tonight, just less than 4 minutes tonight. Victor Oladipo, +5, +/-. Max Strus was a +2. Dwayne Dedman was a -8, but I agree with you. I thought that his impact was generally good, although Moses Brown went up against him, and that is a large human being. That is a large human being to see in person, just an aside there. But look, I do also think that we kind of know what the bench rotation is going to be. When you've got Kyle Lowry and Gabe Vincent back in things, Drew Smith's not going to play, obviously.
No.
And so you've got Kyle Lowry as the starting point guard. And I think that 9-man rotation, it's telling that Haywood Highsmith only played 4 minutes tonight. I think those minutes are going to go to Gabe Vincent. You know, not more than 4 minutes, but I think it's Max, it's Victor Oladipo, it's Dedman for now until Yurtsevin eventually comes back.
That's the point, yeah.
And so back up big, whoever it is, Dedman or Yurtsevin, and then Gabe Vincent, right? So I think, yeah, you get experience for a Drew Smith, Haywood Highsmith, Nikola Jovic, these other guys. But I think when healthy, if ever healthy, it is still going to be the bench I think we expected. Victor Oladipo, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Dwayne Dedman. And so
that's a good group. I mean, that's a good group.
It's a good
mix there. I mean, attacking the Rams,
Oladipo, if Deadman can have good nights, and if you get Yurtseven back, and maybe you just say, you know what, tonight's a Deadman night, tonight's a Yurt night. And that's not bad, considering where Deadman is in his career and where Yurtseven is in his career, young. And so, yeah, and then you've got Highsmith, who shouldn't be – we love Haywood Highsmith. He shouldn't be a night-to-night player in the NBA. You got roster problems if he's a top 8 or 9 guy for you. But having him in break glass case of emergency purposes, that's a good guy to have, especially now, like you said, has the experience to get in there and play 30 minutes like he has in previous games. So is the bench fixed? No. But to EJ's question, with Victor healthy, can we start getting a solid bench rotation? I love that language. The answer to that question is yes. We could start getting a solid bench rotation. Things are trending in the right direction. That's the theme of today's show.
Given that there's no line shift, right? This isn't hockey. You know, who is the best starter to play alongside those bench players coming in? Or is it a matter of how are those minutes staggered? Because we see, you know, some no Jimmy, no Bam lineups, and those are kind of scary because those are Miami's two best players. Like, so who is the best starter to play alongside some of those bench players? Or do you continue staggering minutes moving forward? Because I'm not sure exactly what the answer is. Yeah. It's easy to say Jimmy Butler, but I don't know that Jimmy and Victor can share the floor
You don't want them on the court together. I think you want – I think Bam and Victor can share the floor together just because Bam is such a smart passer. It works.
PNR combo works with Deadman, it'll certainly work with Bam
and
Adebayo.
Yeah, so I think you could do Bam. They probably do need to figure out a way to play Tyler and Victor together, just a process of elimination. Is it ideal as a duo? No. But you want to minimize the minutes that Jimmy Butler is playing with Victor Oladipo because they operate in such similar spots on the floor. Tyler Hero can at least space the floor for you,
right?
And that's good. So Victor Oladipo can have the ball, drive, kick out to Tyler Hero, gets Tyler off the ball a little bit, which I think is helpful because of his catch and shoot numbers are so good. And then Caleb Martin can play with anybody. And then Max Strus is the obvious other guy to play next to Victor Oladipo too. So I think that's probably it. The Victor Oladipo thing is going to be fascinating going forward, figuring out where that
is. I can't wait to see how it all plays out because we've seen some flashes, right? There's moments there where you kind of go, oh, look at that. Like he had a floater in the lane. He had a nice step back jumper. Like the 3-point shot's still flat. Like he just does not have the lift yet. You hope that he'll start to slowly regain that over the course of the season. But if he can tie it all together, again, I hate to rain on everybody's parade after a nice win and everything else like that. But we're not sure exactly what to expect from Oladipo and from this team moving forward.
This is our last show of the week. The Heat play the Spurs Saturday night. We will be back on Monday. Quick game I'm going to throw at you right now, David. Guess the headline for Monday morning. What's the headline for Monday morning?
Heat win 2 straight. Oladipo dominates.
I like it. Thanks again for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. Ring the bell to get notified as soon as new episodes go up. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. David, thanks for joining me.
Have a great weekend, everybody.